Everybody, in Parashat Toldot. Parashat Toldot is the famous parasha. We're talking about Yaakov getting the blessing instead of Esav. But before we get to there, there's a lot of other things in the parasha which are very interesting. Ve'ele Toldot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham olid et Yitzchak. Those are the descendants of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. What is the Torah trying to tell us? First of all, when we talk about descendants, who are the descendants of Yitzchak?
Yaakov and
Esav. Yaakov and Esav. But so Eli told Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avram olid et Yitzchak.
Where is
Yaakov? So one of the explanations says, yes, okay, that's a beginning. And then you learn about Yaakov and Esav in the parasha. Talking about when she's giving birth to them and all the stories that they had a hard pregnancy and blah, 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 blah. Then also there's if you say Yitzchak is the son of Avram, so definitely Avram is the father of Yitzchak. So why is the Torah telling us it? Again.
There was a dispute because Sarah's time with Abimelech.
Yes.
And people were suspicious. So Hashem made Yitzchak to look like Abraham.
He was the image of him.
Why were they suspicious? Or let's say, why did they make jokes about... about Yitzchak or...
Because his name?
About Sarah... No, because what was happening is like this. Sarah didn't have any children, didn't get pregnant for many, many, many years. And suddenly, after being in the palace of Abimelech, she gets pregnant. So you can say, okay, she had Yitzchak, which is a tzaddik. Very nice. The problem is that Yitzchak is marrying Rivka, which is also tzaddikah, and out comes Yaakov and Esav. So you see, Yaakov is from the side of Sarah. He's a grandson from Sarah, and he is like the tzaddik that comes out of Sarah. But Esav is from the side of Avimelech, and it went through when Yitzchak had two children. One is origin is from Sarah, and the other one origin is from Avimelech, which is
impossible.
Why not?
They're twins. They both born at the same.
Yeah, but they say one is evil and one is tzaddik. So they say it's like if you have parents, one is a tzaddik and the other one is a rasha.
Doesn't this mean that you have two?
Of course not necessary. They were joking about it. They were making fun. They were mocking. Mm-hmm. But they had something to talk about. Because you would imagine that if... We all know it doesn't work like this. You know, sometimes you have two parents, tzaddikim, and two great parents, tzaddikim, and great, great, great parents, tzaddikim, and one of the children is not a tzaddik. What can you do? But the thing... But if you take all the things together... And you look at the picture and you think to yourself, 1 minute, let's see. Sarah for many years didn't get pregnant. Now you're coming and tell us that Avram Avinu, after trying all those years to get Sarah pregnant, couldn't do it. And now suddenly, after she's been in Avimelech's palace, suddenly she's pregnant. So if all the descendants now were tzaddikim, Yitzchak and Yaakov, then another Yaakov, so everybody can say, you see? It cannot come from Avimelech. It must come from two tzaddikim. But the minute that you see that suddenly from Yitzchak comes one tzaddik and one rasha, so you say to yourself, there is a reasonable reason that maybe what we were talking about is true. Because you see, who got Sarah pregnant? Not Avram. Avimelech. And because of this, in the third generation, you have one tzaddik from Russia. It was... you must understand, the thing is, when you want to hang something, you want to find a reason. You're looking for things in to put it on.
Is it like
Lashon Hara? Yeah, of course it's Lashon Hara. Okay. The point is that, you know, when people talk and talk and talk and talk, people start believing. You know, we don't have to go far away.
Really?
If the United Nations a few years ago decided that we've got no connection to Jerusalem and to Harabait, what do you want? And they can tell this lie to the whole world. And you know it's a lie. And everybody with common sense know it's a lie, because we have so many proofs in the earth itself. Archaeological talking, we have so many proofs. But, you know, if you say a lie a lot of times, people start believing in it.
Yeah.
And this is one of the main problems. And by the way, in our parsha also, we have the story with the whales. Now, the Plishtim, the Palestinians, they are taking the whales with Avram open.
Yeah, and he closed.
And they close them. And Yitzhak is reopening them. And they have a fight. And then he goes out. And the whole story about around it. What is this whole story? It's very interesting. I'm writing about it on this Shabbos. The prophet says that they left Be'erot Maim Chamim Letovat Borot Nishbarim. Be'er is a whale, yes. A bor is a hole. But they look the same from the outside. Both of them are whole. But a bor is got no running water. If there is water there, it's standing water, which can be a lot of damage. Because if it stands there for a long time, it can be poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting that it's written Bet Aleph Resh Be'er Be'erot Bet Aleph Resh Vav Tav, and you read it with the dots Borot, like the Aleph is not there. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? That it looks like a whale, but it's not. And that's exactly what is happening. You look at things, and they're not like they look from the outside. But you know, you can also always tell a story. So also here with Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Esau was a story around them. But the truth was, we all know. But who wants to know about the truth? Who wants to know about the truth? The United Nations want to know about the truth? All our enemies want to know about the truth. What, you don't know the truth? They don't know that we are here before they were here? They are not the Canaanites. The Arabs, they've got nothing to do with Ishmael. Anyway, this is why Ele Toldot Yitzchak Ben Avraham. Avraham olidet Yitzchak. So he made him a spitting image of Avram. So everybody who looked at Yitzchak and couldn't say that it is from Avimelech, because he looked exactly like Avram, which this is definitely impossible. So if Yitzchak looks like Avram, so the children are, and the great children, are not from Avimelech, definitely. They are all from Avram Avinu. So this is one of the reasons, which is teaching us a lot about the way to look at things. Not everything that sees from the outside, gold or diamond, is really what it is. We all know that it could be only a very thin cover.
Okay. Someone said that today, that we were discussing about the Torah
Karta.
It
doesn't mean anything.
And it means nothing.
It doesn't mean anything. It's because you have to understand, it's not the outside. Unfortunately, we all look at the outside. And we think, you know, this guy looks like a rabbi, he's a rabbi.
That's right.
If he looks like a rabbi, it makes him a rabbi. Is that like to say, he walks like a duck, he talks like a duck, so it must be a duck. But it's not always like this, unfortunately. It doesn't work like this. I know people that they look like a rabbi, they act like a rabbi, they talk like a rabbi, but when you start digging in, there is no rabbi there.
Exactly. So what's the lesson that's what he's got to learn?
The lesson that we have to look at things not only from the outside. That's exactly the lesson. What is Be'er Mayim Chayim? What is what we're talking about, this whole fight around the world? What is the Torah telling us? Digging a hole, another one, they're covering it, they're stopping it, they're fighting with each other because they wanted Borot Nishbarim. They wanted to stop us from getting the life from the real water, from the running water, from the water of the Torah, from the water of life. They wanted us to drink their rotten water, the evil water, the poison water. So we have to be careful. It's like this week, last Shabbos, they had the buses going in the whole center of Israel. No, also in Ra'anana.
Ra'anana?
I saw somebody told me that also in Ra'anana, Kfar Saba, in all the...
They start about 5 o'clock.
Yeah, they've always done that
for years.
No, they saw that they had free transportation on Shabbos.
No, it was just Tel Aviv. Saba,
it was not just Tel Aviv.
Tel Aviv, give a time.
Doesn't matter. It was not only Tel Aviv. It doesn't make a difference. You know what? With Ra'anana, without Ra'anana. In the whole center of Israel, there were buses going around, free of charge, on Shabbos. And that's not what I want to talk about. That's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is connected to a lady that I heard on an interview. She became not religious. She was ultra-Orthodox, and she became... on the other side, and she wrote a book about how she was suffering, and then she find the new way. So she's been asked, so do you believe in God today? She just said not. Mm-hmm. But I still keep a few of the mitzvahs. I keep lighting candles every Shabbos. I have Sudat Shabbat. I don't eat chometz on Pesach, and a few other things. So he asked, she was asked, well, why do you do this if you don't believe? He says, it's tradition, and I want my kids to know where they came from. This is the Jewish tradition. And I'm asking myself, what's to mean Jewish tradition? Can you be Jewish without keeping the mitzvahs? Jewish is not a nationality. You can say Israeli, okay, but Jewish, to be Jewish, it means to keep, to be a Jew, like a religion Jew. That's religious. Religion with being Jewish is one thing. You cannot separate it. Otherwise, you're not Jewish. You can call yourself Israeli, according to today.
People out of Israel call them, a lot of them aren't religious, they call themselves Jewish.
That's what I'm saying. But this is a stupid argument. You cannot tell me that you are keeping Shabbos or certain things on Shabbos because of the tradition and you don't believe in God and don't believe in anything. But this is only the start up to what the mayor of Tel Aviv said. They were asking him, they were so proud about the buses on Shabbos, so they asked him, so what do you want? What do you really want? Do you want that Shabbos will be like Tuesday? You know what the answer was?
Yes.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Says, I am Jewish, and we are a Jewish nation, and I want that there is going to be a difference between the normal days of the week to Shabbos.
What is the difference?
So I asked myself that now, Baruch Hashem, we found out who is going to decide how the Jewish Shabbos is going to look. Not the rabbis, but the mayor of Tel Aviv. He's going to decide what is a Jewish Shabbos. And see, that's again the same thing. If you're not connecting to the wave of life, to the wave of the water with life, mm-hmm. you're connected to water that stands, that don't move. It looks from the outside, this is a hole and this is a hole. Here you've got water and here you've got water. But this is life water and this is death. But they look the same. And they are starting. What did the Polish team try to do? They closed the wells. They didn't want the Torah. They didn't want. They want to worship idols. They didn't like those ideas of Avraham Avinu. But Yitzchak was fighting for it. the same way as we should fight. And understand and don't make any mistakes. Jewish means the Jewish religion. Otherwise, you're not Jewish. You were born Jewish, but you cannot call yourself Yehudi according to tradition. Tradition is religion. And if you take in consideration what our nation went through and how many people gave their life to keep the mitzvahs, and what is the reason we are here in Eretz Israel if it's not a religion? If somebody thinks for a minute that we are here because we are like all the others, he's mistaken in a big way. The only reason we are here, Baruch Hashem, in Eretz Israel, in our state, is because of the religion. And nobody can take it. You can just check it. And look, who built this country? It's also a big lie. If you look at all those Zichron Yaakov, Petach Tikva, all those Moshavot, and all the, if you look at those who started it all, you know who they were? Haredim. Real Haredim, yes? Not what they call today taken generalized people. Haredim Ledvar Hashem. You know, a few years ago, they decided to put statues of those who started Petach Tikva. They put them on horses. You know, you look, they couldn't lie in this case because, and all of them were religious Jews with beards. And it's funny to see it, you know. You think, and they right. Built Petach Tikva. By the way, Zichron Yaakov, the same story.
They rode horses.
But there's a
yeah, so what? So they built a country. They didn't only rode horses. They worked in the field. They did everything.
But you know, several years ago in America, so we used to go to the shiur from the Young Israel, and one of the rabbis who actually came from our community was telling us that when the immigrants came from Europe many years ago, so they all wanted on Shabbat to be with their cronies, with their people, and the rabbis gave them permission. They buy the ticket ahead of time to go on the train, to go to their chevra. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, they figured, all right, if they can go there, they put a few dollars in their pocket, and they can shop.
Well, we talked about it. That's why this one of this that is what one of the leaders of the community in Toronto in Canada told me this year. He is one of the leaders of the conservative shul in Toronto, in Canada, and they have a huge shul. Like, they have, it's a whole huge, like, building, but they have, I think, two shuls there. One is a big shul where they daven on, like, on Shabbos or Yom Tov, and this, they've got 3,000 places there. A conservative shul. And he told us that it didn't start like this. It started like what we call today Dati Light. There's a new thing now.
Dati?
Dati Light.
Light.
You have Kola Light, you have also Dati Light. Okay?
Zero.
Yeah, zero. Not zero. It becomes zero later. Later it becomes zero. So, unfortunately, the minute you start to do compromises, it goes on and on. Yeah. So he told us, and when you look at the shul, you see, it's very interesting, they had a place for women up there. Because that's the way it was built. So they have women separate from the men in the conservative shul, not the reform. Because the conservative idea was, we are not reforms. We are Dati Light. That's what it was. But what was happening is that slowly but surely the women got down. Then they were sitting on two sides of the shul with no mechitza. And then they were mingling. And then I had a very interesting discussion with somebody when I talked about it, and he told me exactly what you say. What was happening is, especially in the States, they had a problem. You know, people were living far away from the shul. On Shabbos, they couldn't get to the shul, only if they ride the car. So, a few of the rabbis thought to themselves, one minute, What are we going to do in order to have a proper tefillah on Shabbos? People cannot come. So they gave a permission to drive with a car to the shul and back, but only to the shul and back. Take nothing. You drive only from your house to the shul and back. Nothing else is allowed.
To give a law that make a new law?
Of course not.
Of course.
But you see, that is exactly the point. They wanted to see, you can, let's say, you can be quiet about things that you see. For example, it happens today also. Not only in the States, also in Israel. Some people are not exactly religious.
Yeah.
But they want to come on Shabbos to shul. So they arrive with a car and they park the car a few blocks, and walk to shul.
But the rabbi may even know
about it, but he doesn't speak about it. But he definitely doesn't give a permission to do it.
No.
There is a big difference. There's a big difference, you know.
But there is.
You can sometimes close your eyes, but you cannot tell people, as if you're a rabbi, that they're allowed to go against the laws of the Torah.
But if you remain silent, you agree.
No. There is a difference. I tell you what. You living
here. He's a leader. He's a rabbi. He's a leader. Yes. He has to come to the shul.
Okay. So let's imagine to yourself. Imagine to yourself. You are not here. You are abroad. For example, let's take a community. Sometimes I go there. Köln in Germany. Not everybody lives near the shul.
Okay.
Now, what happens on Shabbos? If the rabbi will be strong and says, people, you're not allowed to come to shul with cars, I don't want you to come. If you drive with a car, don't come to shul. So we will, next Shabbos we will stand alone.
Right.
Maybe we'll have a minion, maybe. So what is his options? And I tell you even something else. Let's say that you want to show Shabbos to your non-religious family. But you know, they're going to drive, and they won't stay with you. The halacha says that you should invite them to stay. If they don't stay, it's their problem.
Yeah.
So what is this? It's not like going like this.
Yes, of course.
My why do you agree to this?
I don't agree.
But now take it in consideration.
It's also against the halacha.
It's not, I'm not saying, you see, that's the small difference. They have to know that it's against the halacha. They have to know it. You have to know it. The rabbi has to know it. And those who do it have to know it. But if you want to get them closer, you have only one option.
Allow them
silently, meaning to come to you. You don't tell them to do anything. Chas v'sholom. You don't tell them to come with you in a car on Shabbos.
Yeah, but it's a big difference between you and a rabbi. It's a big difference. A rabbi is a religious, a spiritual leader. He has to take a position. He cannot say, okay, I don't see him, they come to me.
So what do you say in all the Chabad places all over the world, that they are welcoming everybody?
No, Chabad places is different.
Why?
Why? Because they their job is to lead karev, to bring clothes.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's exactly
what I'm talking about. It's not so simple, you know. It's very easy for us to say, No, but you know, you have to adjust yourself. But that's what I'm saying. Yes, there's a small difference.
My grandfather is a very, very religious man, and his son used to travel on Shabbat. So his cronies all said to him, why do you let your son come to you on Shabbat? And he said, better he should come to me than go to the movies. He's going to go someplace. So
the point is, and that is the definition, you have to make the definition. The definition is very simple. It's not allowed. Definitely not allowed. But if you do this, I'll accept you.
Absolutely.
As a friend, as a part of the family, as a part of the congregation. But don't think for a minute that I agree with what you do.
That's it.
Now, in this way, this guy's got the possibility that one day he will do tshuva.
Yeah.
But if you send him away, you don't want to know about him.
He'll never come.
He will never come. Now, let's take this guy and put him in the same position in a conservative shul, or even worse, in a reform shul. So what is the rabbi telling him? No problem. Come to shul. Is that this guy have an option, or let's say, do you think for a minute that there is any chance that he's going to do tshuva? No, because he's okay. The rabbi told him, you're allowed to.
The rabbi
allowed to. And that's the difference. Now, what was happening with the conservative? The minute that the rabbi say that you can go from here to shul and back, what happened?
He's done an avera.
Exactly. The first Shabbos, they did it. The second Shabbos says, you know, on the way we have a mall.
Yeah.
Let's go to the mall and have fun a little. Then, you know, when we're going back, we have this beautiful lake and near the thing. So going back from shul, we have a picnic on the lake.
The rabbi said we're allowed to ride on Shabbos.
Yes. And then what happened? The conservative become exactly like the reforms. How did it start? The same way as you say. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
See, the minute that the rabbi says, as halachically, you're allowed to do something, you have a problem. But if you make the definition, you say very clearly, the law of Shabbos is like this. You're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. That's it.
Oh, okay. You have to.
But that's your job.
I want to believe it.
But
I want to
now,
sure.
Now, everybody knows it's not allowed to. So if they come with a car, they won't come in the front gate of the shul and park the car and go out. They park it a few blocks because they know that it's allowed or not. It's not allowed.
But in South Africa, most of the Jews do that.
But you know,
it's not only in South Africa.
Anyway,
it's all over. They have a Jewish congregation. When they live far away, they have a problem.
Anyway,
no,
the subject.
I never had a problem because I moved.
The subject that you.
Yes, but that's what is happening. Look in Antwerp, for example. In Antwerp, for example, it's like the ghetto. They live all the Jews, the religious Jews.
Yeah.
They live in the same 10 streets.
Yeah.
So okay, this is the solution.
Yes,
this is the solution.
Of course.
Okay, so this
is the religion solution.
Okay, but these
but what do you do with those who are not
they
religion?
Have to move.
So okay, but the minute you tell him from the beginning, don't come. Has he got any chance to come closer to you?
Has
he got any chance to do tshuva?
I'm not sure he's willing to do tshuva.
It happens.
Yeah, it happens. This is what Chabad does.
Exactly.
But this is a mission.
But also a mission of a rabbi in a congregation, which half of the congregation is not religious. That's exactly the point. It's not Chabad.
Okay,
have got
okay.
not a sole agency on doing bringing people close. That's a job of any rabbi, or not only rabbis.
And
each one of us.
They mustn't expect the
let
rabbi.
Let me. I want to ask you a question about the. I think in almost in the end of the parsha, it's written twice, in the middle and in the end, that it's written twice that Rivka say to Yaakov the youngest son, and to Esav the eldest son. We know already who is young and who has. Why is this repeating the Torah twice? In the middle of the parsha saying this, and in the end also again. Why?
Because the whole story is around this here.
No,
the whole story of the
parsha. We know already from the beginning that Esav was the. All the story of the parsha saying that he was the first to be born, and he saw his Bechor to
one of the
to
most
in,
yeah one of the most interesting things.
And
when
the
Pasha.
End of the parsha again say the youngest son and the eldest son, we know already who is the young and who is the old.
There's a reason.
One of the interesting thing of parsha by the way there are a lot of other explanations about Yitzchak ben Avraham Yitzchak, but I want to talk about, let's say, the more interesting part that everybody is always asking question about, which is the whole unbelievable story about the way Yaakov is getting the blessing, which is very strange. First of all, how is it? We have to understand all the figures. We talked about in the past, but maybe it's the time to talk about it again. Because how is it possible that Yitzchak wants to bless Esau? The Torah says, Kitzayit Befi. The Torah tells us in Pasuk, Yud. Pasuk Kaf Zayin is it or Kaf Chet? Kaf Chet is it. Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav.
Kaf Chet.
Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav. Got it? From the beginning of the parasha. Vayehav, you've got it?
Yes.
Now,
yes, here the whole story starts. After we realize that we have a problem with those two kids.
What's it?
One of them. If you've got this chumash, it's here. Look, it's here.
Here.
Okay.
Vayehav Yitzchak et Esav kitzayit befiv Revivka ohevet et Yaakov. Now, I want you to tell me what's written here. Yitzchak loves Esav, and Rivka loves Yaakov. So how does it sound like?
The favoritism.
It sounds terrible. How can this be?
Lesson in paternity.
we're talking about here Yitzchak and Rivka, the two tzaddikim.
Yeah. How they can?
But can it be that the one loves one child and the other one loves the other child?
But that's what you see.
Oh, again, we're talking. This parasha is all about who is the symbol of truth in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Who?
I don't know.
No? Titen emet le'Yaakov. And we all know that if somebody will ask us to choose who is the figure that symbols the truth more than all, definitely not Yaakov. Because this guy is doing all those strange things that not exactly look like truth.
He's like his father.
So, how is it that the Torah tells us Titen emet le'Yaakov?
He
is truth. The Rav Dessler writes about it. And it explains a very interesting thing. If we think for a minute that telling the facts is the truth and what is not a fact is a lie, we don't understand what is truth. Sounds strange, yes? But think about it for a minute. What is the meaning of truth? As we said, we cannot look only from the outside. The mean truth is the good side. And lie is the bad side. In other words, if it's serving the right side, it's truth. Emet. Emet. Emet shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's emet. There's only one emet.
Yeah.
If it's serving the wrong side, the evil side, is it emet?
No.
It's a lie. And we all know that sometimes you can tell facts that are the biggest lie there can be. You choose the way you tell them. And you can change everything. Now, here, it looks like that Yitzchak loves Esau and Rivka loves Yaakov. But look at how it's written. Vayehav Yitzchak, Vayehav, and he had to make himself love Esau. But Rivka, she loves with no thought, she loves like nature. The nature, she loves Yaakov.
It's a natural thing.
But Yitzchak has to work on it to love Esav, kitzayit befiv. Now, for a minute we think that Yitzchak is this stupid old guy that doesn't understand what's going around him, so we really don't understand who Yitzchak is. This is the same guy who was on Akedat Yitzchak. This is the same guy that is, we are being told, is Gvura. He is the strong side. So this guy, Yitzchak, doesn't know who is Esav and who is Yaakov, and he favors
one of the other.
No, the point is he's working very hard to show his love to Esav,
to try to transform
in order to change him for the best or to find for him the right way. And then we see what's happening. Yitzchak wants to bless Esav. And Rivka hears about it. And without telling Yitzchak anything, she's doing this whole plot in order for Yaakov to take the blessing. Why? Why is she not just going to Yitzchak, her husband, and telling him?
Trusting him.
Sorry?
They don't, through the whole parsha, they don't talk to each other.
Which is also why.
Until the
because she did,
why?
She was too young for it.
Now, then also, we cannot really understand what is so... Why is Esav so disappointed? To the point that he cries.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about is a blessing. A blessing for whom? For a tzaddik. What can this blessing be? A spiritual blessing? He so why Esav needs... Why is he crying? Well, yeah. So what? So he got no blessing. So what?
Maybe he had...
And why is Yaakov doing all this thing? And how is it possible that he is a met?
Yeah.
So let's see what's going on here. When Yaakov comes and brings the offering to his father, the food, what is Yitzchak feeling? He feels that Gan Eden comes with him. In other words, this guy deserves a blessing. When Esav comes, he sees hell.
He knows.
Hell is open. In other words, he knows exactly what's going on. So let's understand what's going on. Yitzchak thinks, I've got two kids. One is a scholar, sits in the yeshiva and learns. And the other one is going around the streets.
A shaygetz.
He likes this world with all the joys and things. How can I make sure that both of my kids are going to go in the best way in life and have the best benefit out of it? He says, I've got a plan. And by the way, this plan is a part of our life, which is called Eskem Yisachar v'Zvulun. What is the agreement between Yisachar and Zvulun? Yisachar sits and learns, and Zvulun provides. And what did Yitzchak tell to himself? Oh, 1 minute. I've got the best way. I'll give Esav the power to bring the parnosa, to bring the say, he will going to be blessed. And now, with his blessing, he can support his brother. They are twins. They love each other. And Yaakov can sit in the yeshiva and learn. But the power of women, which we see in the whole Sefer Bereishit, is to see what's inside and not what's outside. Yitzchak hasn't got this power, but Rivka's got it. And when she looks at her son, Esav, she realizes a very simple thing. And by the way, both of them want the best for the two children. Yitzchak thinks that the best for them is Esav is going to have the physical side, is going to work, is going to provide, and Yaakov is going to have the spiritual side, he's going to sit and learn. And from this way, both of them are going to enjoy it. But Rivka knows, and she loves both of them also. Don't think for a minute that she doesn't like Esav. It's her son. And she knows that the worst thing that can happen to both her children is if Esav will get the parnoso, will got all the physical side. The worst thing. Why? It's like a drug addict. If you give a drug addict money, what is he going to do with the money? Going to buy food? Or is going to buy more drugs?
More drugs and cigarettes.
If you go an alcoholic, you give him money. What is he going to do? He buy water or buy alcohol? And if you give a gambler money, what is he going to do?
Gamble.
In other words, instead of doing good, you're going to do the worst thing for him. Because if the addict's got no money to buy drugs, so he cannot buy drugs. So it's going to be better for him.
I heard a shiur this week that Chesed say, give a dollar for this man. He then Gvura comes and said, no way, don't give the dollar for this man because he'll buy only drugs. Then came Tiferet, that is the combination of the two, and say, anyway, he'll die. He has no anything to do. He lives like this. No, give a dollar and you'll feel better.
I don't agree with this. Sorry to tell you, I agree with the Tiferet, I agree with everything to the point that give him the dollar. You don't give nobody, something is going to kill him. Nobody, definitely not. You try the way to help him. So if you ask him what is the combination, you take him to the makoret, give him food.
Yeah.
Not money, you give him food. This way, you give him, but you give him a right thing, you give him food. And not money that he can buy drugs. By the way, it's the same story if somebody owes the bank money. So people sometimes think, I'm going to give him money, and it's going to save him. It's wrong. Because if he owes money to the bank, the first thing that is going to happen is going to still be hungry because the bank is going to take the money and he will go in the street without food. So what you have to do is to give him food and then think about all the other things. In other words, you have to work out things. You cannot look only on the outside. And that's exactly the combination between Chesed and Gvura. Chesed is, I want to give. Gvura is, stop. 1 minute. Let's check what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Now, let's combine it together with the Chesed and find the best way to do it. And this is the way to do it. Now, Yitzchak thinks, I'm going to give Esav the power and Yaakov will sit and learn. But Rivka knows. The truth is that instead of doing good, you're going to ruin both your children. How? Yaakov is not going to have anything to eat. Because Esav is not only going not to provide him, Esav is going also to destroy himself. Because a guy that lives the good life and runs after all the bad things in life, you give him money, he's going to do it more. In other words, you are rushing his way to hell. So how do I stop it? I give the power to the tzaddik. I give all the power to Yaakov. And this way, what do you think? Is Yaakov the tzaddik going to help his brother or not? So Rivka is loving who? Both of them. The same way as Yitzchak loves both of them. But a different point of view. And by the way, both of the ways are right at a certain circumstances. You have to check. That's exactly the point. Yitzchak's got a beautiful idea, which is very good. If you have the right guy. Because he sees kitzai befin. He sees that Esav, at the end of the day, he knows what's wrong and what's right. He asked those questions, alachli, which is a stupid question, but it shows that he wants to show his father, you know, I'm not so bad. So he's got some good in him.
They said he loves his father.
He's got some good in him. So Yitzchak is, I'm going to use this. But Rivka knows that his desires, this lust for the bad side, is so strong that it's not going to be good for him. In other words, the truth is that who has to get the blessing? Esav or Yaakov?
Yaakov.
Because otherwise, it's not going to end. Now, why is God doing all this thing? To teach us this big lesson. That things are not the way they look from the outside. You have to look at things from the inside. You have to check them. But in Kabbalah, they talk it. Don't look at the incident. Look at the general picture. The klal. You always should look at the klal, not at the something that happened. Because if you look only at what happens now, you won't do the right, you won't find the right solution. You won't understand what it's all about. And by the way, we do it a lot of times. We act according to something that happened now. We don't realize or don't check why did it happen. Because sometimes we'll find that the solution we find is the opposite. It's like I always give this sample which I heard, which is this is one of the best samples. Education. One of the kids is hitting his brother. So what do you do? What do you do?
Separate them.
Separate them.
First thing.
Don't you punish him?
Sure.
Sure. How do you punish him?
By taking away something.
But
that
maybe he was provoked by the other. And I didn't, I cannot punish without knowing the truth.
What is the truth?
It's like the boys that...
How do you find out the truth?
The boys that are in the jail because they I don't know what happened because of telephone and this, and they are in jail, but they were provoked by these Palestine boys.
So the question is, what do I do?
I need to know the truth. To ask, to question, to talk.
In other words, I have to find the reason why we got to this situation.
Okay.
In other words, when I see one of the kids is hitting another kid, I have to check why is he doing it. Not punish him, which is the normal thing, by the way, that every teacher and every parent normally does. First of all, punishes him.
For what?
Does it help? You will find out
no.
that those kids are going on the same way. Why? Because the teacher or the parent missed the point. For example, the point in those cases mostly is tzumet lev. They want you,
attention.
They want the attention, they want connection.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes parents today are so busy. And this kid, he wants his father
to
talk with him, to take notice of him. And the father now goes, hi, Shana. You know, like the kids comes and shows a picture. Like in,
and he
says, like, oh, this. Nice.
Oh, yes, nice. Like, very nice. Very
nice, nice, nice. What do you think? The kid is stupid?
And he gives him money and he says, go.
The kid is stupid? So the kid wants the attention of his father or mother. So what is the way to get the attention? I'm going to do something.
To make a negative.
So it's his brother. Oh, now I've got attention from my father. And he understands and realizes that the only way that he will feel his father, any connection to him, is through hitting his brother. So to punish him, it's not going to help. So you have to find out why. And then when you try to inquire, you will find out, 1 minute, he wants my intention. So in other words, what I do now, of course I'm going to punish him, but in a clever way. You're not allowed to do this. Let's sit together and think what you did.
So why Rivka didn't come to Yitzchak and talk with him about her ideas?
That's one of the questions I asked in the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I want to answer.
Yes. So why didn't she do it? By the way, one of the reasons says she didn't want to talk Lashon Hara. Which I always, when I get this to this point, I say, well, what do you mean don't want to talk Lashon Hara? What do you mean? Sometimes you have to
parents.
Tell. You have to tell things. But she knew what Yitzchak thinks.
Yeah.
And she knew that the only way to do it is to confront Yitzhak with a problem. And she did it. Because what happened when Yaakov came in? What did Yitzhak feel? And by the way, he's saying it.
At the end,
the end he's saying it very clearly. There's no mistake.
Shalom bayit. Make it be
closer. In Perek Kav Zayin. Kav Zayin? Yes, Kav Zayin. Pasuk. Lamed Gimel. Vayecherad Yitzchak. Got it?
Lamed Gimel.
Now, what is happening now?
Yes.
What is happening now?
What page?
Yes.
Here.
81.
What's happening now is Yaakov comes in.
Apple? By the bottom, top?
He gets blessed. No, here. By, here.
By here, that is.
Which blessing is it?
Lamet Gimel.
Lamet Gimel.
Lamet Gimel.
By Echirat Yitzchak. Got it? Now, look how it's written. It's unbelievable. Vayecherad Yitzchak harada gdola ad meod. What does it mean? He got a fright, but not a normal fright. Ad meod. He got really, got a shock. Why? What happened? So Rashi says on the spot, Ra'a ge'enom p'tucha lefanah.
Yeah. He saw the Gehenna.
He saw hell in front of him when who comes in? Esau. From the other side, when what is he telling? Vayomer, mi efo hu atzatzai. So who is this one who came to me and gave me the food? Va'avarcheu, and I blessed him. And what is he saying then? Va'avarcheu, and what's written then? Gam baruch iye.
I've got a book for him.
No. I blessed him, and he is blessed.
And he is
blessed. And this is very interesting. Why? If you bless somebody that is lying, normally the blessing is not going to happen. Because he did it in the wrong way. But if you realize that he deserves the blessing, so the blessing is going to happen. So what is Yaakov saying? What is Yitzchak saying? Yitzchak realizes that the guy who went before his was Yaakov.
Yeah.
So what should he do? I'm cursing him. He's cursed. He's not blessed because he lied to me. What is Yitzchak saying? Va'avarcheu, answering Esau, I blessed him and he's blessed. In other words, he deserves the blessing. Who deserves the blessing? Esau or Yaakov?
Yaakov.
So in other words, now Yitzchak realizes that he did a mistake. You know, sometimes in order to see a mistake, you have to live it. Because, you know, when you tell somebody something and he thinks he's right, he will find all the excuses of the world to justify what he thinks. And sometimes it's not because he's doing it intentionally. Because inside he thinks he's right. So he's looking at the point from his point of view. He cannot see the other side point of view. And Rivka realizes, see, if she's going to talk with Yitzchak, he wouldn't understand what she's talking about. He will think that his plan is unbelievable. So what did Rivka do? Because, well, Rivka is not also not stupid. She knows that eventually Yitzchak will find out what's going on here. Because Esav is going to come back. Esav didn't go to a way of no return. She knows Esav went to bring food for his father and he's going to come back. So she knows that the lie is going to
be revealed.
But
amazing, why Yaakov accept Rivka's plot?
Also,
he agreed.
Yes, why?
He knew what was going on.
Why? Because his mother, his mother was a prophet, a great prophet. All the mothers were prophets, and she, what she said, what is God telling Avram Avinu? Mashe tomar lecha Sarah, whatever Sarah tells you, you do. God is telling him. So Yaakov realizes that if his mother comes to him and tells him that what he has to do,
we must deceive your father.
Yes. It's not deceiving the father. It's revealing the father the truth. This is why Yaakov is the truth. Because truth doesn't always look the right thing from the outside. But then you find out that is the truth. That's the right thing. Yes. Could you imagine that the blessing would be given, by the way, his blessing which he got afterwards is also making us a lot of problems.
Yeah, of course.
But imagine to yourself that he would have got that blessing. What would happen then? Would it going to be good for the world or bad?
Terrible.
Terrible. So where is the truth? The truth is with Yaakov. Not with Esau, but Esau is the truth. He is the one who deserves. He is the one that Yitzhak wants to bless. So if I look at the picture, who is the liar and who is the truth? From the outside, it's very simple. The answer is very simple. Yeah. Yaakov is the liar, the deceiver, and Esav is the tzaddik. Yes, that's what it is. We all know it's not. So what is truth and what is a lie? This is why Yaakov is the emet. This is why this whole parasha is going on. In order for us to teach us a big lesson in life, we have to check things. Don't look at the outside. Look at the results. Look at what's going to happen. Think. For this you need the combination of chesed and gvura. And then, I talked about it yesterday, I think. I talked about it, which is also very interesting, that what is going on here with all those things. Yitzchak sees a Gehenom. He sees hell. Why is he blessing Esau?
Yeah.
Why is he blessing him? Let's put the picture now in the right proportion. He should maybe talk to Esau. Says, I'm sorry, Esau. The blessing...
The answer is what you give me to before. Then you told me, if the rabbi said to the guy, don't come, if you come with a car, this guy will not come anymore.
No, here the answer is even better. Here's a different
the same
answer.
Thing.
Not exactly, I'll tell you why. See, the point here is, the Torah wants to tell us a very important point. They say, Anshei Knesset HaGdolah say, our sages say, that after the temple was destroyed, the gates of tefillah, of prayers, were closed, shut down. But there are gates that are always open. It's the gates of tears. If you cry to God, it's open. Or HaChaim HaKadosh also says, very interesting, what is really Esav doing?
Right.
Look at those descriptions here. Everything is strong, like a shock. And also, Esav, when he hears that Yaakov took the blessing, he is crying, but not normal crying.
It's
like terrible. Now, if you're a parent and your son is crying, I'm not going to bless him. Does it matter who he is? It's your son. Now, if Yitzchak blessed Esav, knowing who Esav is, he saw hell, and still blessed him because he was crying. So if we cry to our Father in heaven, would he listen or not?
Sure.
Big lesson. Big lesson. Doesn't matter what you did. If the crying of Esav worked, so definitely our crying is going to work. Also one of the big lessons of our parsha. You pray to God. How do you pray? You ask God things. How do you ask? Deep from your heart, or is it just reading?
Depends.
So here we see the power. If you want God to listen, you have to get to the level of crying. Now, crying, by the way, doesn't have to, like, the tears don't have to be shown. It's very good if they're shown, because as we say always, the inside and the outside are connected. The spiritual and the physical are connected. So in other words, if you feel something, it has to be shown also on the outside. That's the ultimate connection. So
and
here we learn...
How do you know that Esav cried sincerely?
The Torah is telling us. If the Torah is telling us, that's it. It's not the Torah is not only this.
It's written.
By its act. Yeah. Hey, look, not just written. It's written in so many words.
Yeah.
Here you can look at it. That is Pasuk. Lamedalet. 35. Right after the pasuk we read before.
Yeah, after the pasuk.
Kishmo Esav et divrei aviv. Esav et divrei aviv. Vayitzak. Look how it's the scripture. Tzaka. Gdola. Umara. Ad meod.
Ad meod. Wow.
So many words.
So many words. In
By the way, we are paying for it.
Yeah.
Haman HaRasha came from this crying. And a lot of other problems came to us because he was sincere.
Yeah.
You have to understand the point of view of Esav. Esav is not what we think. People read Esav HaRasha, Esav HaRasha, and they think to themselves that they...
It's a beta.
That you look at somebody with tattoos and piercing and half shaved head and with torn trousers... With colors,
rings in the nose.
Yes,
rings in
that's if you think like this, you're mistaken big way, big way, because Esav looked exactly like Yaakov, exactly like Yaakov. And by the way, as a proof, we all know that in Me'arat HaMachpelah we have Adam HaRishon with Chava, Avram and Sarah. Yitzchak and Rivka,
Yaakov
and Leah,
and
Esav's head. Esav's head. What is Esav's head doing in this holy place? Because his head was holy. But it was not connected to the body. Not connected to the face. So in other words, Esav knew that there is Olam Haba. Esav knew the spiritual side. Esav believed in God. He knew there is a God. The same way, by the way, what we see later on with Bilam HaRasha. What is Bilam HaRasha doing? He knows God, he's a prophet, and still he's doing all those bad things. But when it comes to the point, he says, Tamot nafshi mot yesharim v'tihi achariti kamohu. I want to die like a Jew. What does it mean he wants to die like a Jew? He wants Olam Haba. That's what he wants. In other words, he wants to... All of us will want this. Like to do here whatever we want, take whatever we want from this world, and then at the end of the way, when we go to Olam Haba, we'll get Gan Eden. Huh? Very nice. That's what Esav wanted. In other words, he was building on this blessing. This is going to save him, because he knew, I lived life. Definitely I don't deserve Olam Haba. I deserve hell. That's what Yitzhak saw. But if I'm going to get the blessing from my father, I will have the gate to go into Olam Haba.
The key.
And then when he heard that he didn't get the blessing, it broke him.
That's why I cried.
Yes. And this cry worked on Yitzhak. Because we see the description of this, not such a cry. In other words, if we will get to this level, God can change it. You see, it's not always good. For example, also in the beginning of the Parsha, Yitzhak is praying with Rivka to have kids. Then, he has to pray and pray and pray, whatever. And then the Midrash says that because of the prayers, the children came 5 years earlier, which made Avram lose 5 years of his life. Because Avram was promised Seva Tova. That he's going to die with everybody, all the family good and happy and believing and doing all the good things of the world. And in our parsha we see that Esav is going in the wrong way. At the same day, Avram died. And the Midrash said that he died 5 years earlier because Esav and Yaakov should have been born 5 years later. But because of the prayers of Yitzchak and Rivka, especially of Yitzchak, God gave it before 5 years. So we again see the power of praying from the heart. Now, when Yitzchak saw Esav crying so hard, he had to bless him. He says, "But only one blessing you've got, my father." Yeah. You see all this story. He says, "Okay, I'm going to bless you. And we're paying for this blessing."
Yeah.
But for us, the lesson is very simple. Doesn't matter what you did. Even if you did something very wrong. This is our Father up there. And you can ask whatever you want. But you have to understand, if you want to change anything, you have to really ask from the deepness of your heart. Tzaka gdola umara ad meod. And also another lesson, sometimes you need patience. Even if you want something, maybe it's not good now. Maybe you should wait. So, in other words, it's nothing is simple,
as it's
been shown. And that's our parsha. Titen emet li Yaakov. Nu, be'emet. This is the unbelievable. But that's exactly what the Rav Dessler says. That's the big lesson of the parsha. Everything is being done so strange. So Esav didn't realize one thing. That the whole blessing is not a spiritual blessing. It's not a blessing of Olam Haba. It's a blessing of Olam Hazeh. Why? Yitzhak is a tzaddik. This is a blessing you're blessing? Because the only thing you can bless or change in this world is from the physical side. The spiritual side, it's a personal thing. Nobody. It's like I once asked Chaim Kanievsky that he will bless me, that my kids will be Talmidei Chachamim, will learn good, will be religious, and he says, send them to Talmud Torah. That was his answer. You cannot bless. You can bless, but it's only going to work if you're doing something. It's got to come from you. But let's say wealth and
health,
that is from God. That God can bless you. That God can give you. That is the blessing you can get.
He gives you the two.
And then when we look to the blessing, the whole blessing, the whole blessing is a physical blessing. As we said, the idea of Yitzchak was giving the physical side to Esav, which is going to support Yaakov. But Rivka saw the real picture behind the outside, and she changed the picture, and then also Yitzchak realizes the right picture. So at the end of the day, what is true is exactly what's written on Parsha. The truth is that Yaakov had to get the blessing.
A question.
Yes.
It's written in the end of the Parsha that Esav hates Yaakov and want to kill him.